Hello, everyone. Good morning. Good afternoon. Hello. Welcome to this call. Hello. Hello. Welcome to this call, the 11th call today on Saturday. And let's all take a deep breath and just come into this present moment. Come together here. Just be present. Allow everything to fall away that just came before this call, before this moment. And not being concerned about what will happen in the next minute, the next second. Just being yourself, being present with what is, and allowing yourself to fall back into who you are, or being what you are already prior to all thinking, to all sensation, to all discomfort, to all excitement. And just forgetting it and dropping out of the mind into that which you are, which includes the mind, includes the body, includes everything, where everything is here and whole. Everything is what it is, has always been, and will always be. And just through the senses, things change and appear to be moving through time and space, but we know that that's just a particular way of looking. Right now we want to look. When we don't look, we are still. We don't move as consciousness. We're just present here with what is. And open your eyes for a moment, remaining just as you are. Just look into the room, wherever you are, without engaging with anything. Just remain that. Close your eyes for a moment again. And then open your eyes again, just looking through your eyes, not engaging. Like nothing has meaning. Whatever the objects are in front of you, there's no comment, there's no meaning. It's just there. Close your eyes again. The objects in the interior, the thoughts, the feelings, we don't give them any meaning. They're just there. Even the sensations in the body, if there are any. Like we don't know what they mean. We're not concerned. to give it a label. Everything has room within you as who you are. Everything emerged from you that you can perceive, and everything will return to you. Even the words that you're hearing, let them just float by. Do not give them any weight. So when we don't give any meaning to anything and we're just present, what happens is something arises within you, an urge to move on, to figure out, to get somewhere. Just notice that, if that has popped up there. When will this moment be over? What will happen next? Getting to know that egoic will, that drive that occurs when we attach ourselves and identify with the mind. The moment identification takes place, this I is born. When there's no movement, the sense of I doesn't appear. So it's not so much about waking up or getting rid of the I, like doing something about it. It's more about refraining from moving as consciousness. When we're still, the I doesn't arise. The mechanism of the egoic will to be attracted or repulsed does not appear. It's absent. It only appears when identification, attachment has already happened in the mind, with the mind. Then we discover we're caught and that we're busy with something. So we backpedal and notice, here I am, attracted or repulsed. My problem appears so huge. It has been there for such a long time, because mind is time. But if we remain still as consciousness, then the hand that slips into the glove, consciousness that slips into the mind, we have the ability to then withdraw that consciousness. We pull the hand out of that glove, out of that sleeve, and we're just being that which we are. Suddenly there's nowhere to go, nothing to achieve. And the habit comes up then to ask, what do I do now? What does this mean? How do I live from this place? And that's the question that arises when one has again slipped into the mind. If we don't do that and we remain still, the stillness will express itself through the mind in a different way. You will think, talk, and do just as fine, but it just isn't the same mechanism that you're used to. So, waking up is not a lengthy process. It happens in an instant when one has seen and understood, really seen, that one can be in the mind, identified as the I, or one can be still and be presence, which is a different kind of I, which is not really a point. It's an I that is spread out or absent, however we can describe it. That happens simply through a looking, a turning to see directly to that and to who is looking at the world. So it isn't an instant. It has nothing to do with healing karmas. It has nothing to do with a lot of the things that happen in the world of time and space. Now, if somebody is very willing to look, but the looking takes energy, and there's so much pain, then the pain can be so loud that one cannot concentrate in looking directly at one who one is. So that's where it can be useful to clear things, and that's what we do. But it is not necessary. If one has an open heart and is very innocent, an innocent looking at oneself can happen with even a lot of karma and a lot of pain, because the innocence, that open heart, is so okay with all the pain and the trauma. It has no judgment. It is not bothered by it. And when we're not bothered by our issues, when we are really okay deeply in our heart, then awakening can happen instant too, no matter how much pain, trauma, discomfort, or whatever is going on in the body or in one's life. So it all comes back down to the heart itself, and the heart is non-judgment. To be okay with everything that ever happened in your life, with the things that are happening to other people, to have no opinion on that, to trust that all is perfect, and not to have the but arise, but. If we can refrain from that, we move into an innocence. And that innocence is the really first step to being in relation with ourselves and with others. This module is about relationships, and to be in relation, to truly love, to be that which one is love, it really starts with the non-judgment and with a decision to be warmly okay first before trying to fix things to make better, or to believe this idea that one day I will wake up, maybe not in this course, but maybe this life, or maybe not, I can't do it, maybe it'll be three lives from now. That is a lot of thinking, and it's a lot of procrastination and postponing of something that can happen right now. So today I'm going to welcome Norma and Shelley, which I think I saw being present here today. So yes, here you are. I see you down there. Welcome for being here today. And the calls are always a little different, but what we're doing is usually going through a lot of answers and questions, and discussions and topics come up in that context. There's one thing I'd like to touch on today a little bit as well, is because we're talking about relations. There are some very, very powerful relations. I mean, there's the relationship with yourself, which is so significant. There's the relationship with your parents and your relationship with your children, your relationship with your partner, and then there is a spiritual relationship you have with God, or for some people, with a person that represents that in some form, which is called the guru or the spiritual teacher. So these are usually very powerful relationships. All of them are what I see in humans is that we are totally absorbed and busy just going through life and managing these relations. And they're full of pleasure and they're full of pain, and rarely are they really rooted in true unconditional love. I know that a few of the participants in this course, be it A or B or both, have had relations, spiritual teaching relations with teachers that were what we call bad teachers, bad gurus. And there was pain and there was trauma. And I'm aware of that. There's not just one person. I've been hearing this from a few. And I would like to talk about that a little bit because it's a very deep, powerful relationship. It's a relationship that was not by coincidence. That is very spiritual, just as the relationship with your parents is very spiritual, and essentially all relations are. But it's more, it kind of touches deeper on the longing of self-discovery. And I think it's because we went through the shift from the patriarchy to this new time, that a lot of people in the last 100 years maybe have had difficult relations with spiritual teachers that was somewhat traumatic. And I would like to offer a healing here in the sense of seeing things correctly and beginning to slowly go there. And I know some of you have already done this and are doing this, but I can sense there's still a pain or an echo there. Is that everything is you, everything is yourself. And if you have chosen to truly be free, to not just wake up, but to go all the way to enlightenment, you will meet the darkest inside you. We recognized the story from Kim that met the dark in her dream in a meditation. I remember Kim Russell, and I had something happening, you know, as well. And I later actually had another encounter that was very, very difficult. And what it's really called in spiritual terms is that you are meeting your worthy opponent. Because you have split yourself, we are polarized. That's why we are in relation in the first place. We're in relation to something. And when deep within you, there is a split between good and bad, or a suppression of some parts of you that you don't want to see, then a spiritual person will show you that. It's a mirror to see what is that person doing? What is it bringing up inside of you? What is it touching on for you to see? And I know that the safe way to look at is, you know, to get a book and look at what are the signs of a good teacher and to be very cautious and probably not even engage with a spiritual teacher. Or if you do, the spiritual teacher has to behave this way, that way, and you have to kind of go through a checklist. That's good for psychological health, absolutely. But if you want to wake up fully and become enlightened, then you have to meet all of that. And you have to know that judging something out there as bad and then saying, I'm enlightened and there's only light and everything that exists is light, everything is God, that in itself is a contradiction. So it's an invitation to open your heart even more, especially in this module, to really see that, wow, you're strong enough to meet your worthy opponent. You had an encounter. It's the worst things that happen and the best things that happen are always grace. They're always blessings. And to include that in your understanding and meeting that very full on, and that you're designed to integrate that and to see what it is. You're designed to do that. Maybe it takes or took a long time, but with a true open heart, it can be in an instant integrated, and it can be liberating to a degree that is unimaginable. So being grateful, saying thank you to these things, and at the same time being warmly accepting and okay around the feelings that might still be there or the fears. So that's something I'd like to open up and see how that percolates through the next weeks. There is also an email I got today about a woman who is being psychically attacked, and it looks very, you know, scary. I don't know if I mentioned that a long time ago in one of the earlier calls, is that there is, on the level of duality, on the astral level, we can see the dark and the light, the demons and the angels. They're really two sides of the same coin. There is a force that disintegrates, we spoke about, and sacrifices others in order to grow. That's the demons. And then there is a force that is whole, making things whole, and they sacrifice themselves for the others to grow. That's the saint. It's just the opposite. There's sacrifice either way. It's just the other way around. So just seeing things a little bit more in a whole way. And when a person is under demonic attack, what they're really struggling with is within themselves, with forces within themselves that they are very resistant to. So at times the Kundalini can show up not just as little twitches or the cleanses that we usually sort of, you know, talk about, but they can actually look very dramatic. And I think I talked about a local woman who I went to with Jason, I think on two nights, we spent a few hours there because it was literally very scary looking. And we had to work with the husband and the child, and everything was like out of sorts. And essentially, it was really this person's internal unconscious, not even conscious, unconscious resistance, that this person is so gone and become so overwhelmed with their own forces inside that just all opened up. That can look very scary. But I want you to know that as long as you know it's just their resistance acting out with such force, that there's nothing really bad happening. And only if you make it real, if you react to it, then of course you're going to live the same dream, the same dream of horror, but it's just a dream, and we don't have to share that dream with others. Okay, so I'm going to open up to the questions now, and the first question is Cindy. So, hello, Cindy. Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks.
I don't really have any questions, but I'd just like to sit with you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Very beautiful. Thank you, Cindy.
Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, next question or connection is in Dunville 289. Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Hello.
Hi, it's Kathy.
Hi, Kathy. Just sitting, or do you have a question?
I don't really have a question, no.
Okay, just connecting.
Just connecting.
Good. Okay. Thank you, Kathy. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Bye. Okay. Now we are in Douglas, 307. Hello.
Hello.
Yes. Hello. Hi there.
This is Karina.
Hi, Karina. Hi there.
Van Rensselaer.
What's that?
Karina Van Rensselaer.
Yes, exactly. Thank you. Yes.
Okay. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you. I kind of lost you suddenly. Where are you? Huh, very strange here. So you're not showing up. So, okay, I'm good. Thank you. Yes.
I would like to connect today if I could, please.
Okay. Wonderful. Thank you, Karina.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. You're okay. Bye.
Bye.
This is Katya. Hello.
Hi, Rakima.
Hi it's there.
Lovely to spend a little moment to sit with you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Katya.
Thank you, Retina.
Thanks. Okay, we're having a quiet call today. This is Waldorf. Hello? 301.
Hello.
Hi there. Who's that?
This is Melissa.
Hi, Melissa.
I just wanted to connect with you today.
Okay. Good. Good. Thank you, Melissa.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. This is Glen Rock, 307. Hello.
That's me.
Hello, it's Antonia. Hi. Hi.
This is Antonia. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Yes.
I will like to connect and then I will make a comment. Is that okay?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
So what is the comment?
Well, the introduction, it was so beautiful. And I can relate to some of the words that you said.
Okay.
Because I feel like right now I am in this place where when I sit and meditate, it's just empty, dark. Every once in a while I can see like a white light, red light, orange light. But other than that, it's about it. I just want to be with my eyes closed. I don't want noise. I don't want to hear any comments. I don't want to talk to anybody. I just want to lay down and close my eyes. I'm not sleeping. But my daughter... this is something that it just happened to me like 4 days ago. My daughter wanted to go to the mall and she invited me. And I went with her. And the minute I walked in there, I was like, I need to get out of here. I don't want to be here. It was a very horrible experience. And she was a little like, oh, Mom, what's wrong? And I said, I don't know. I don't want to go shopping. I don't need anything. I don't want to buy anything. I want to go sit outside and lay down and close my eyes. That's all I wanted to do. And it's been like that, you know, for the last couple of weeks probably.
That's good. Do it. You have to do that. And people don't have to understand it because you're doing something on the inside. You're literally learning how to not engage with mind. And so you're... The forces, the inward forces are so strong, so you just let that happen. You're busy, you know. You're busy with something already that people can't see. So, and I know people won't understand. Your daughter says, well, let's just go to the mall. But you're actually busy with something really big. And so you can't mm-hmm. be in the mall and do that as well, right? Yeah. So yeah, do that. Keep doing that. And it's okay if you have that deep pull inside, you can also lie down. You can do that for sure. There are these stages where it's so automatic, you know, you might just want to lie down because your the whole body, the whole physiology is sort of involved in this letting go.
Mm-hmm. And it's like I don't have any plans for what I'm going to do this year, next year, like I used to. Have a lot of, you know, everything.
That's
not
good.
Anymore. I don't
That's
have no
fine.
Plans.
You don't have to.
You know, and, no, I don't. I don't.
Do you have a plan so, how your hair grows next month?
No.
That's good. You don't have to have a plan for that. So the plan already exists, the divine plan, so don't worry. You don't have to work on it.
But it was so weird, guys. I want to run out of there and just lay down and close my eyes. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I want to do is just lay down and close my eyes.
I
don't
did want
that. To go shopping.
No. I have photographs of me lying on all the lawns in London because, you know, I was trekking in 1999 with my little son and my husband through London, you know, from museum to museum, like, I don't care. Bang, I was outside on the lawn.
And that's what I wanted to do. I want to be outside by the sun. Lay down and close my eyes. That's it. I don't want to eat. I don't want to shop. I don't want to see people. I don't want to do anything. Just leave me alone. And so it was hard. It was kind of weird situation.
Yeah,
I know exactly
normal.
What I wanted, but
yeah, it's good. So, you know, it's very very wonderful. Just keep going with that, and it's perfect. Finally, you're not. Have that reflex of having to engage with the mind, so it's stopped. Now there's going to be this complete letting go. You start to relax on the inside as consciousness, and as consciousness is relaxing and expanding, it's actually there's something happening. So you can't suddenly contract again and play Antonia. You're going to have to go through, you're going to give birth to a new Antonia.
Okay. That's why your introduction, it was so wonderful.
I'm glad.
She's describing me. She's describing me just exactly how I feel.
Good. Okay. Well, I guess it was for you today. Thank you. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye. Okay. So the next person is 4971, and there's no name or city. Hello. Can you hear me? 4971.
Hello, this is Ursula.
Ah, yeah. Hi, Ursula. I should by now learn your numbers, but believe me, I will never remember.
You don't have to.
Okay. Okay, just connecting or something else?
I do have a question, but I would also like to say that I really got hot during your last conversation with Antonia, and I don't know why, but okay.
Okay, so there was something that burned for you as well, something that relates to you, and your Shakti burned as you responded. Something burned up in the energy that was happening between us. Mm-hmm.
Well, I do know that there was a little panic about if that happens to me, how do I manage to function in everyday life?
It always comes up, right? Yeah, everybody talks about it. I had that too, actually. But believe me, that's the mind.
Yes.
Again, it wants to make the hair grow perfectly next month, right? Yeah, it's going to happen. Everything's going to happen fine.
So the question that I originally had is when we do the yogic approach with things that we want to transform or change, I understood that we sort of say... it's an illusion, it doesn't exist,
mm-hmm.
more or less.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and that's rather easy with things that have more to do with the personality or the psyche for me.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure how to do that with things that happen on the physical.
Same thing.
They're just...
Yeah, because you have to mean it, right? When you say it, you have to mean it. So mm-hmm. you go a little deeper. On the psychological level, there's a little bit more space. You can observe that. It's almost like another part of you is emotional or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
On the physical, you really think you're the body. So it's so close. It's right up your nose.
Mm-hmm.
But at that point, you can't just step away a little bit. You actually have to really go deeper and you really mean it. If you say this isn't real, you have to mean that. Mm. You're really denying your illusion to be this body only. And the question is, can you accept that today, right now, this moment? Can you let that in and say, yeah, actually I'm not this body, I'm actually something much, much different. I am awareness, I am the self. Can you actually right now, this moment, say yes to that?
Well, that's a difficult question.
The question is not difficult. Maybe it's difficult for you to answer because you can't decide, right?
I am aware that there is more than the body, but to say that the body is not real.
Good. Let me say something that we'll probably talk about many more times, is that the body is real. But the way you, Ursula, perceive the body as a separate thing that you label, this is Ursula, that is not real.
Mm-hmm.
Your identification with the body that gives you a sense of I, that's not real. The body itself is real. It is void. It is light. It is all the different frequencies. Depending on what station you tune in, is that what it's, that's how the body will appear. We're all tuned into the dense station, yeah? And that's where everything appears solid. In the dream world, when we tune into, we dial into the more astral vibrations most of the time, where it's sort of form, but it's so more translucent. And then when you go into meditation, you really go into the spiritual, then you dial into the light levels. So which one are you? That's the question, right? You are all of it. All of it is real and not real. What's truly not real is that sense of it's like saying that the sun is only this one ray, but the sun is all the light that falls on the planet. So the isolation of this particular body that you say that's you, that's Ursula, that part is not correct. Am I making sense?
Total sense, it brings up so much emotion. I don't even know why.
That's okay because that's very good. This is because we're real. We're moving into reality. Suddenly something is happening that you are not controlling, that the ego isn't making and doing. So let it happen. It's emotional because you are beginning to sense a reality and there's grief and there's hardship and all that. It's starting to, it's almost like something, like a muscle that was really tight and now blood goes back and it feels all buzzy and weird in there, you know? Yeah, so you just let you as consciousness are beginning to expand right now, because that's exactly what it is. Once you expand, you can still enjoy looking through the senses and see and feel this body, but when you suffer from pain in the body, you're contracted, so you have to take care of that and say that's not real. The pain is a result of the misidentification with the body. But let me even specify this a bit more so there's no confusion. There's pain in the body and there's pain in you as consciousness. The real pain that you don't want to have is the pain in consciousness, which comes through the identification with the pain in the body. You can be free from the pain and consciousness because you expand, and then there is a delay in the body, in the dense form where the pain still remains, and maybe you have the pain for another month or 2 years, but if you don't identify with it, eventually that pain will go. And the deeper you're free, the less you identify, the more expanded you are as consciousness, the faster the pain goes. That's when it can go instantly. That's the depth of faith, you know, that Jesus talks about. If you have faith to know what really is true, these are my words, you know, that's the way I just describe it, then you're healed right away. It's all gone. Yeah. How are you feeling now?
A little bit like crying.
Yeah, okay, that's good, that's good. And you know, it's a really important, this question, you know, and thanks for sharing that, Ursula, because this is the trickiest part. I mean, we were trying to wake up out of the illusion that we're this body, remembering again and realizing again that we're spirit. That's what we're trying to do. So it all has to do with the world of form, right? With money, with sex, with survival, with death, with illness, with children, everything that has form. It's the whole drama of the human being that we forgot who we are, that we're limiting ourselves. But we're changing, we're getting better, we're meeting now in this space, right, on the phone, and we're connecting. Like, how do we do this? So obviously we're already noticing we're more than the physical body, but we have to get past even that. When we say, oh, let's connect, are we really connecting? In the connection, we can do it, you know, from soul to soul, but we're doing this only to go past even that, to fall into or realize again that there's nothing there. There's no one connecting to anyone. We're just ending up just in pure presence. There's not you, not me. So we're opening up more of who we are while remaining in the body. You're not dying and leaving the body. You got that as well. So we can have all of it. That's the beauty of a human being. We have 7 chakras, 7 frequencies in the body that give us the opportunity to straddle the entire existence from the densest rock to that which is source. That is why I say, and everybody else says, the human incarnation is very special. Isn't that beautiful?
I don't even know why I'm crying. It must be the reason you just said that something is sort of happening.
Yeah.
It's not sad what you're telling me. It's very beautiful.
Is it really sadness? Try not to think about it. Feel and be with that.
It's not sadness. Mm-hmm.
It's not sadness. What is it really?
It's being very moved.
Yeah, exactly. You moved, yeah. And what moves us most deeply is love. Right? There you go. You can feel that, how strong that is? Yeah. Mm. That's power. That's, can you feel the power right now? That's real power. Yeah. See how powerful you are. When you move as a being, and you move as a being instead of an ego, how empty that is, right? As a move as a being, how much power there is. They're beautiful artists, you know, they sing or they dance, and there are moving an entire audience to tears because of something that real that is, they let themselves express. Yeah, that's power. Mm. Thank you. Thanks, Ursula. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Very beautiful. So this is New York. Hello, 845. Hello, is this Danielle or Christine?
Hello. Sorry, I was muted.
That's good. Thank you.
Thank you for that call. That was
that was powerful, eh?
Yeah, really. Mm-hmm. The thing about seeing someone perform and it moving you, I found that to be very true for myself. I was always really attracted to dancing and things like that because mm-hmm. I could mm-hmm. kind of feel the energy coming through them.
Yeah, because if an artist, they display any actor, any artist, I mean, even a painting or a book or something, if there's something fake in there, we sense it. We all have a truth detector. And if a person is able to let things through as clearly as possible, just without ego, we're touched. It's satsang. It's satsang in a different way, you know. Unfortunately, it's not labeled as that because people... You know, the artist isn't free and often there's identification, you know, after the performance, but at least they take time out where they're actually offering themselves in a very raw way. And so, of course, it's incredible healing for people who watch that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So other than that, it's resonated with me.
Mm-hmm.
Just from seeing it, so it's kind of additional confirmation for being where I am right now, because that's always what I wanted, was to kind of be able to offer that in my own way, that kind of presence. You become very present because they're very present.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you have an art that you do, and everybody does, I mean, it could be just the job you do. I mean, it doesn't have, it can be a cashier. You can, you know, you can do something from a place of truth that will look like art. And everybody will line up at your line at the cashier, right? It could
yes.
be anything, really. It's so you can already in those areas be as honest as, and real, and use that. And then essentially, it you know, it goes deeper. It's and I'm kind of losing track here. I'm going to empty today.
So, yeah.
I guess not important.
Well, I just really wanted to connect.
Okay. Nice. Thank you, Danielle. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye. Okay, this is Anna. Hi, Anna.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hi. I had a question about meditation. The last few days have been very good. Got deeper in meditation.
Seems okay.
My mind is quieter. But I was thinking... I can go into my core, that's okay, but when I go up and when I go down, I can become distracted by that, and I have a hard time connecting with Mother Earth. How important is that? Should I work hard with it?
If you are, Anna, if you go into your core, what you call into your core, you're obviously noticing there's a shift and you know you're in your core. If you're in your core and you're very still and you're just already in meditation, then forget about all that going up and down. You don't have to do that. Yeah. Are you still? You just go in your core and you just sit there and you're still? Is that what happens?
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah. So don't worry about all that other stuff. It's more about when, let's say, you try to go into your core or it's really hard, you can't, you know, you notice there's a lot of movement. Really what that means is there's a lot of you're in the mind. Then you want to basically expand and ground through and up and then come to some stillness, but you don't have to do that.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks. Okay.
Thank you.
Good. Okay. Bye. Thanks. Good, and that's Shelley. Welcome, Shelley. Hello.
Hey, thank you. I'm going to head inside because I'm outside and you guys may not be able to hear me.
Okay,
so
thank
let
you.
Me head to some quiet. Two things. I would like to connect for sure, but I do have a question.
Mm-hmm.
I last night was trying to do the, well, it relates to two things. It's the yogic sleep and the meditation. With me, it's literally quieting the mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally just have to close my eyes and I pretty much go right into the third eye.
Where you do which one? Like meditation, sitting, and yoga nidra, sleep, is lying
sitting,
down.
Yeah. The,
you're talking about
the
sitting.
First one is,
okay.
Yeah, when I'm sitting, easiest to just close my eyes. I see the colors and it's literally trying to get that mind to still. I have great success at days, other days horrific. And then last night, what keeps happening is when I tried to do the yogic sleep on laying down, you would go to the forehead and automatically I would 2 seconds not be able to focus. And it's almost like I get, not restless leg, but I literally can't sit still. It's, I can't get to sleep. I don't know if it's a buildup of energy. Very uncomfortable.
Hmm. are you trying to do something, or you're literally really just touching lightly on those areas? We're just touching lightly. We're not really identifying with that spot, right? Are you working a little too hard?
Okay, that's probably what it is, trying too hard. Yeah.
Yeah.
As always.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. Yep. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. No worries. Okay, let's sit here for a moment. Remember, you already are what you are, who you are, and allow yourself not to look at all. Just dropping all looking. There's nothing to do. In fact, forget even everything you've learned and done before, because that all is part of identity. So that doesn't matter. That exists. We'll let it continue to exist. It'll be there when you need it. But you are free. There's no landing on anything. No landing on anything. Okay, Shelley? Good. Yeah?
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
Thank you.
Perfect. Okay, bye. Okay, so we have Wilma. Hi, Wilma. Hello.
Hello. It's always wonderful hearing you and everyone else.
Thank you. Thank you. And we are happy to hear you, too.
Thank you. Basically, I want to connect with you.
Mm-hmm.
And the only other thing is that I don't know, it's about being seen. So I don't know how that works.
Being seen, can you say more about that?
I'm finally recognizing that I've been hiding my everything that I know, and other than when I connect with you, but from the world, I've hidden myself and all that I could do and all that I am.
Well, that's the persona, right? We all have some people come out and others hide, but that has nothing to do with you.
Okay. That's the part I've been recognizing.
Good. That's the important part. So good job. That's the good part.
Yeah.
And
connecting with you.
Yeah. Okay. What I offer you, Wilma, is to let go of that mechanism of doubt. There's a last doubt in you that keeps tripping you up. Recognizing when doubt arises. Because doubt is a function of the mind. It helps to separate things into forms. Let me say more about that for everybody, is that doubt, you think it's something very personal, but it's actually a natural function so that the mind can, let's say you look at a table, the mind says this is table, but it would be stuck at table forever, right? So what it brings up is a doubt. It's a function to scramble things and say, oh my God, there is something else over there. That's the couch. Couch, table, and that doubt is shifts things, and then you make a distended mind decides and it zooms into the other form, and then you go to couch. So this is how things are separated into different things. Doubt is, we just personalized it. That's the way I saw it a long time ago. We personalized it as something and make it a personal issue, but it's a natural function. So when the doubt arises, this function to split you, Wilma, You don't let that happen. Don't let yourself be split, because you can't. You're not a form. You are always and always we be eternity, the oneness.
That's what I got this morning, and I saw myself in that place. But as you're talking and you're working, I feel a tremendous, usually everything's on the right side. This is the first time on my left frontal lobe. It feels so big.
And who is noticing that?
I'm feeling it. So I guess I'm noticing it.
Yeah, because there's always something to notice. You know, it never ends. The mind will always have a sensation, a feeling, and it will always be something different. It changes. So there'll be a feeling on the left side, on that side, and the toe is then tickles, and this happens, and we're big, we're small, we're this, don't let yourself to be too distracted. You're looking out still into the subtle realms. The trick for very people who have done a lot of spiritual work for a long time is to get caught in what goes on the spiritual levels, because it's like multidimensional. My God, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and you go off in the woods, you know, and you'll never come back home. It's a labyrinth. So your duty is to turn attention back within, and from that place. And when you are fully identified with that which cannot be seen, which is the self, then you're happy to go out and wander everywhere, because you know you don't go anywhere. It's just all you. You can't get lost.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get lost. There's no question. There cannot be a question or a seeking or a doubt. Has to be absent. None of that can be there for you to be. When you're awake, none of that will be there.
So my communicating with you now, and what I had meditated and observed, and where I was, it's perfect. You just completed that whole cycle for me.
Good.
And thank you.
Okay.
That's amazing.
Good. Okay.
Thank you.
Good. Perfect. Thanks so much. Okay. Bye. Good. Okay. The next person is Rosemary. Hello, Rosemary. How are you?
Hi. Rosemary, can you hear me okay?
A little muffled, but I can hear you, yeah.
Okay, let me turn it off. Is that better?
That's good.
Every time I'm listening to you on the call, I have, oh, yeah, that's a question I have. And then the next caller comes on. Oh, yeah, yeah. and then everything kind of fades. And then I think, oh, really? I don't need to have questions answered, do I? But I also feel like I feel so grateful to be here.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
And I don't know exactly how to be with you. I'm so scared to.
Thank you.
I don't want to do this, and yet I see all my family too.
I'm having a little hard time to understand. I know I don't want to interrupt your feelings.
No, it's okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know I'd be crying.
That's okay. We don't know what happens the next moment.
No. So when you were talking about. You know, people have gurus or teachers, and we had, you know, strange experiences. I've had that, and I think it's a little bit maybe still lodged in my ego, you know, my fear. I just wanted to say that.
That's okay, you know, it's the psychological parts, you know. We want to work on this today is to realize that all that is okay. There can be all these things, but don't identify with it. Just know that you aren't your psychology. You are not that. The psychology is being observed, and the psychology changes, just like the weather changes. And so you are free from that. That's all we want to know and embrace and realize, you see? Knowing that there is that part of you, which in Sanskrit is called the Atman, that one never really got never hurt. Never, that one never did anything. It's always abiding, abiding as eternity and doesn't really engage in anything. You see, I can say something else about that. Some people some say, you know, there's been all these horrible things happening in the world. Why does God not care? Well, God can't care because God is not participating in the drama. It's God is forever God because that is what makes God God. It's separate. It's in the sense of experience. It is even being in the experience, it is still remaining eternity. It cannot feel bad about it because it knows it's crying is the same like laughing. There's no difference. Do you know what I want to say here?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I feel like I tap that experience periodically where I am observing.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize that God cannot, he's not human.
So yeah.
It's our projection of who God is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Is that what I'm hearing
today? Kind of. Yeah, you got what was important for you right now. I said a little bit more, but you heard what you needed right now to hear. That's perfect. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But
The thing I've noticed, I had this experience for Akana, which I wrote about in Facebook. Can you hear me?
It's very difficult, but...
Okay. Wait a minute. Let me...
That's getting better, yeah.
Is that better?
That's much better. Thank you.
Okay. So, I had this experience where I could see that I was light.
Mm-hmm.
And I experienced it momentarily.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt amazing.
Mm-hmm. Like, of course.
And, yes, right, and beautiful, and I felt strong. And so once in a while, I think, you know, as I'm driving or wandering around, will I feel that again? Is that part of waking up? And it's a longing, actually, I have to admit. It's like, God, I would like to feel that every day.
Well, good. The thing is that this is why I ask everybody to sit every day and basically meditate. You're meditating on that highest that you can meditate, be it the stillness or be it the light. And when you have seen the light, okay, we're going to have advanced meditation MP3s coming up in the next modules. Then you can even bring your attention to that memory of, you have an experience that it still exists inside you. Because you see, you are light already. It's not just gone anywhere. You are that, right? It's just a cloud over it. There's just a cloud over it, right? Right? Okay. So now, what we're doing, remember in the earlier calls, I talked about we're changing the background and the foreground. You see, when you are in an airplane above the clouds, you don't care about the cloud because there's the sun. But if you go underneath the cloud, then suddenly the sun is gone. So you're in the wrong place, right? First of all, we want to wake up to the fact that we're not a human down there on Bob, but we are basically the self, the sun. You know, we're close to the sun. You know, we're just trying to explain it with the airplane here. And so when you go and sit in meditation, you go back to this memory of the light, or it could be a feeling sensation or something, because you're longing for something you know. How would you otherwise long for it if you didn't know what it is? You wouldn't have the longing if it didn't exist within you. So you bring yourself back there and you keep meditating on it like stubbornly, I would say.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's what you do. And once you enter the planes of light, there are many, many planes of light. They shift and move and fluctuate. They bob in and out. It's really beautiful. So you basically, at that point, you're feeling yourself and experiencing yourself fully as light. And then you go deeper and deeper into it. And the light, you and the light blend. And then it gets deeper and deeper. So it's extremely beautiful. And it's worth to sit through all the hard, horrible meditations to eventually experience that.
Okay.
Yeah, so just go back to that memory. And when you have a longing, you can also, if you can't connect with that, experience, the longing is your red thread. You follow that back. Where does it go? It goes. It takes you right there where you want to go.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. it's pretty easy, really.
Oh, okay. I believe you, but...
What part makes it difficult is the you and everybody to believe what the mind tells you. It says, oh, it's difficult. I can't do that. It's somewhere else. You can't have it. But why would you listen to that?
Yeah,
you've got these party pooper always coming up.
Yes, the party pooper, exactly. I say, well, okay, so I've experienced it once, which means I can experience it. So where is it? What did I do? What can I do? And it's always a do, I guess, but I think, okay, I'm just going to continue because it's gotta come back, right?
Yeah, there's time and space. You see, you have already believed that you can find a time and space. Nothing can come back. Everything, nothing ever comes back. There's always evolution evolving to something else. But what you then stop and you have to tell yourself, well, I'm looking for something that's already here. So then you stop, you still, like what we did in the beginning of the session today, of the call. You're just still because you know, don't let your mind trick you. Because when you're still, your mind can't function. Then it just runs on the last recordings that are in it. That's all it is, but you're not putting new recording on it.
Okay.
That's a new example. I never came up with that before.
I like that.
Yeah. Don't record more stuff in that mind. Okay. Be still. Thank you, Rosemary. Is that okay?
Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Okay. Bye. That's good. Good. Winona, hello. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning. Mm-hmm. Good morning. Well, I think all my questions have just melted away with today's.
Yeah, very, very good stuff coming up today. Yeah.
Oh, just beautiful. Mm. And follow the longing. I love that. I'm going to use that one. I think I just want to connect.
Okay, let's connect here. That's better. Good.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks. Okay. Bye. Okay. And this is Kasri. Hello, Kasri. Hi there.
Hi, Rakia.
Hi.
I just wanted to connect.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye, Kazi.
Bye.
And there's somebody at 442. Is that Australia? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, hello. Is that?
Hi, Atma. This is Anya.
Anya, hi there. Hi, Anya.
I just wanted to
connect. Please. Yeah?
Yes, please.
Are you seeing light in your meditations, Anya?
Yes, yes.
Every meditation now?
Yeah, I would say yes. It's just sometimes it's blackness, dark light, and sometimes it's light. And
good.
Sometimes I go inside and don't even know if I see something.
No, perfect. You're doing good. So just keep doing what you're doing. That's wonderful. Thanks, Anya. Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, and that's in Toronto. Hello.
Oh, hi, Arafima. This is Catherine.
Catherine, hi.
Hi.
Connecting or question?
Yeah, connecting. Connecting. I just want to say that this call has been so great. You know, I feel inspired and encouraged, so it's wonderful. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Everybody who contributed.
Oh my God, it's been great. Thank
you. Yes, you guys are great. Thank you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let go a little bit more of your body. Just be more empty. You might find that works better if you put your attention briefly onto the head area. Yeah, breath is good. Good, yeah. Everything is taken care of. If you let it go, you can just be here. Perfect. We're just going to pretend there's nobody on the call and we can be here forever. How's that, Catherine?
Mm-hmm.
Good. How's that? Good?
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so we're at the end of all questions and answers. So just close our eyes again one more time. I'd like to end this call with some singing, and I'm just going to sing the mantra, and you can sing along in your own way, and allowing yourself to feel the devotion to that which you are, that which is unnamed. And Om Namah Shivaya is a very beautiful sound that helps us to enjoy deeper what has been experienced today. I'm just going to sing it as best as I can, and you can just sing it along or in your own way. Om Namah Shivaya, 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 Om Namah Shivaya. 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 Om. Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Thank you for your presence today. Thank you. And maybe I'll talk to you later again on the call. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful afternoon, wonderful day. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.